Not every woman is a mother. Not every fella here this morning is a father and such. But we want to honor our fathers this morning and just recognize you a little bit and just, you know, thank the Lord for you who are godly fathers. You that are godly fathers that have come to be in church this morning. And I praise the Lord for that. And I am so thankful for godly men that will shoulder the responsibility of fatherhood and do it the way indeed that they should and such. How many great grandfathers are there this morning? Great grandfathers. You guys stand up, all right? Brother Mansky, you don't have to, all right? Brother Mansky's not a great grandfather yet, but he will be shortly, all right? Look at these guys, all right? Great grandfathers. My goodness gracious. Some of you guys not old enough to be great grandfathers. All right, be seated. There's great grandfathers, all right? How many more of you are grandfathers? Just grandfathers, you know? There you go. Indeed. Isn't it great to be a grandfather? I'm telling you, that title, grand, boy, there's a lot of truth to that. Grandkids are special. I'm telling you, they are indeed. Now, all you fellas that are just fathers, y'all stand up. All of you that are fathers, hadn't stood yet, there you go. There are all of you there, indeed. Bless your heart. Folk, I'm telling you what, men, we have opportunity to have a tremendous influence on the life of our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, the next generation, generation to come. That responsibility it's so important, and it's so vast. And I'm thankful that this many of the men in our church this morning stood. Now, all you other guys, we're proud for you too, all right? We appreciate you guys as well and such. But we need godly fathers in our world today. One of the great tragedies, I think, of modern-day society is the breaking down of the family, of the family unit, all right? And you know what? We need men that will take the lead, and I'm preaching to you guys for a minute, okay? We need men that will take the lead spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, in every aspect. Take the lead in your family to be the husband, the father, the grandfather that God would have you to be. And you know, that's how God established the family. That's how He established it. He made Adam first, and then He made Eve as a helpmeet, one who was everything that He needed, all right? And then He gave them children. We live in a very unfortunate time where that scenario is just almost totally disregarded in so many areas, in so many ways, and we'll not get into that. That's a whole other sermon. But I'm telling you, you guys, I'm proud for you. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you being what I know that you are, because I see this congregation, and I know what you are. We need godly fathers. But not only does it come with great responsibility, and you can read all this in your bulletin, but man, I'm telling you what, there's not a greater blessing than fatherhood. Not a greater blessing than being a fella that comes in and goes into life and he gets a great wife. He has children, they choose good spouses, they have children, and that makes you a grandfather. It's just a special, special thing. It's a special blessing from God. And men, let's take that blessing, and because of it, let's make sure that we shoulder the responsibility of it and that we do everything that we can to be the godly men that God would have us to be. And you know, if we'll give ourselves to God first, the rest of that will kind of fall into place if we'll serve Him. But I appreciate you, men. Now, for all you wives and kids and grandkids, regardless of age, all right, always include that. Oftentimes we think of Father's Day, we think of the littler kids and such and all. But I don't care what age you are, if your father's still living, you make a special day for him today. You say, well, Dad doesn't live around. Call him up. We live in the 21st century. Call him up. Talk to him. Tell him how much you appreciate him. And I hope that you have a dad that is worthy of that appreciation. And let us be that, men. But you guys be sure you let your fathers know how much you love and appreciate them. I think, and I say this in the bulletin, I'm kind of just repeating myself here, but probably the greatest honor that you can pay your dad today. Now, if you've got him a gift, that's okay. If you didn't, that's probably okay too. But if you got him a gift, that's okay. But you want to honor Dad today, you just take him aside and say, Dad, I love and appreciate you. I don't know of anything I'd rather hear this morning. I love and appreciate you, Dad. And then I want you to do something not just today, but every day. I want you to pray for your dad. I want you to pray for your father. Because, folk, I'm telling you, we need prayerful families. We need prayerful dads that are being prayed for by their families. So do that today, and I tell you what, it'll be a special day for dads, and it'll be a great time, a great honor for them as they go through the day. But don't be sure and don't let it be just today, okay? Don't let it be just today, but do that every day. Honor, respect, just that special homage that he's due, okay? And remember, that's God's plan, all right? That's not all mine this morning. That's God's plan that we do just that. You know, the Ten Commandments, people stress the Ten Commandments, and rightfully so. The Ten Commandments are just a very small outline of the law God gave Moses and such. But you know, there's 10 of those commandments. The first four deal with man's relationship with God. The last six deal with man's relationship to his fellow man. And you know what the very first of those last six commandments is? Honor your parents. Honor your father and mother. Honor them. There's a lot to be said in that honor. That's a broad term. Honor them. And that's the first commandment that comes along with a promise that it'll work well for you when you honor your parents, that you may live long on the earth. Folk, I'm telling you today, honor your parents, again, regardless of the age. Parents, let us be worthy of that honor. Men, let us be worthy of that honor. And when that all comes together, man, it makes for a great, great family relationship. All right? Turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of John. Book of John, chapter... I'm in notes here. The book of John... Get it here. John chapter 1. I'm going to get it. I really know what I'm going to preach this morning, all right? John chapter 1. We need great fathers. We need great husbands. We need great grandfathers. We need men that will step up and be great in their service for God and their work for God. And as we continue this morning to look at greatness in the sight of God, by following and looking at the example of John the Baptist, I want to just continue the series, but I really want to just make us, you men, just pay special heed this morning. We need some great leadership in our world, and men, it's our responsibility to have that leadership. It's our responsibility to be the head of the home, the head of the household, to step up and take charge and be that physical, material, emotional, spiritual leader that God would have us to have. We remember that Jesus, in speaking about John the Baptist, made this statement about him. Those that are born of woman, of those born of woman, there is none greater than John the Baptist. Folks, let me tell you what. For Jesus to make that statement and to pay that compliment to John the Baptist speaks innumerable volumes about John the Baptist and the kind of fellow that he was. We've looked at John the Baptist and seeking out and what made John the Baptist great. John the Baptist was great because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He gave himself over to the full and complete control of God. God, you take my life, you direct it, you guide it, you manipulate it, you form it, you take it, you just use me in the way that you would have me to use, and just give yourself to that. We need men and Christians today that will be filled with the Spirit. John was great because he knew the importance of prayer. The apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ himself asked Jesus one time, and he said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. That tells me that John knew the importance of prayer and emphasized prayer. John was great, as we have seen, because he did that which was right in the sight of God. He did things that were based upon conviction. He did things that were righteous and proper and honoring to God. He was a righteous man. He was moral. He was ethical. He was a great man to emulate. He did that which was right. Even in the face of danger, he stood for what was right. Men, we need to do that today. Christians, we need to do that today. John was great because he was very humbly obedient to God. Jesus came to him, and Jesus said, John, I want you to baptize me. In humble, in just a tremendous display of humility, John said, oh my goodness, this is a paraphrase. Lord, I can't baptize you. You need to baptize me. And Jesus said, no, let it be. You do it that we might fulfill all righteousness. And John said, yes, sir. Humble obedience to God. Those things are what have made John the Baptist great that we have looked at thus far. One of the other things that made John the Baptist great, that will make us great as Christians, and it will make us great as men and fathers and grandfathers this morning, is found there in John chapter 1 about John the Baptist. And keep in mind that John the Baptist was just a great man of God that was given a great task to be the forerunner of God. But he was still just a man like we are. All right? He had his limits. He had his lapses in faith. At one time, he sent word to Jesus, are you really the one, or should we look for somebody else? But I'm telling you what, Jesus still made the statement, none greater than John the Baptist. Look in John chapter 1. Read with me beginning in verse 6. We know that in John chapter 1, the first few verses there, talk about Jesus. He is described as the Word. All right, you find in your Bibles that the word, Word, is capitalized. There in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We can know with absolute certainty that that is a reference to Jesus Christ the person. Jesus Christ the man, the Savior. Look down to verse number 6. In verse number 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. We know as we read on that this is not John the apostle that is writing this book, this letter, this epistle, but it is John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Notice that word is capitalized. That's talking about Jesus. That came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, Christ, might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. John the Baptist was great because he pointed men to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. And again, what we celebrate today. Thank you for the privilege of fatherhood. Thank you for the privilege to be a father and a grandfather, a great-grandfather. Thank you for the privilege to Lord, be privileged with having children. Lord, I thank you for all those men that have stood this morning and all of the men of our church and their convictions and their commitment. Lord, I thank you for the example of John the Baptist, and I pray this morning that as we look at this further, that we will see the importance and the urgency of being great, that we must be great in your sight. Lord, just have your will and your way convict us, and we're going to praise you for it, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Another thing to remember in review is that we talk about John the Baptist being great. He was great in God's sight. Okay? Remember, that's the most important thing. There's nothing wrong with the accolades of man. There's nothing wrong with men thinking very highly of you, of your fellow man. We should strive to do that. If we'll be great in God's sight, we'll be great in the sight of men as well. But folk, the most important thing is, what does God think of us? What does God think of us when he sees us in our everyday life? Are we great in his sight? I pray that we are. I believe that we can be. And if we're going to be, we're going to have to be following the example of John the Baptist in that he pointed other men to Christ. Over in the book of Luke, we find a passage that says almost exactly the same thing that we found there in John chapter 1, in Luke chapter 1, in verse 16 and 17. It says, "And many of the children of Israel shall he," John the Baptist, "turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him," he, John, "shall go before him," Christ, "in the spirit and power of Elias," and that's Elijah in the Greek, of Elias, "and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." We need a people prepared to meet the Lord. People need to be saved. And folk, it is our job, it is our task, it is our assignment from God to tell other people about Christ. John the Baptist did this. Now, John did this in a unique way. He had a special, specific calling to be the, as I like to use the term, forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was going to be the one that announced that this is Jesus, this is the one you've been looking for, this is the one who has come to save humanity, to be the Messiah of Israel. He is the one. His message was very plain. In this, we find it in John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That is the message that mankind needs to hear today. That is the message that your neighbors and your co-workers and your friends and your family need to hear today. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, in order to have that sin debt taken away, that sin debt paid, obviously, there has to be a reception of it on the part of the lost man. We can't control that, but I'm telling you what we can do. We can make the announcement, Jesus has come to save your soul. Jesus has come to give you eternal life. Jesus has come to pay a debt that you owed but could not pay. Jesus has come to give you the hope of eternal life. And you got to talk to them about Christ. You got to get them lost. You got to tell them what the consequences of that are. You've got to tell them the remedy of that through what Christ did. And then you got to tell them that all they have to do to receive that is call upon the name of the Lord and they shall be saved. That's found over in the book of Romans. Folk, I'm telling you, we need people today that will tell others about Jesus. John also told a group at one time in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Remember what repent means. Repent comes from a Greek word that means you're going this way, which is the wrong way, and when you repent, you turn around and you go the opposite way, which is the right way. Now, confession comes along with that, confessing your sin, acknowledging your sin, just telling God, you know you're a sinner. God, if you please forgive me of my sin, and I want to accept Christ as my personal Savior. Folks, it's really that easy. God did all the work. Christ did all the work. The simplicity is one of the things that makes it so great. It's not difficult. We don't have to do anything except believe and repent. We don't have to do anything to earn it. Nothing you can do would ever earn it or merit salvation. You don't have to do anything to keep it. That's all done by God. All we have to do is, through faith, accept it and receive it. And folks, when we do that, then we are given a commission by Jesus himself to be like John the Baptist and point others to Christ. John the Baptist told people about Jesus. He made that pronouncement, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the earth. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, we might want to use different terminology than that. That's not half bad, though. But as we lead people to Christ. Now, some will say, "Well, yes, but that was John the Baptist, and that was his calling from the very beginning. And he was announcing that somebody was coming on the scene. He was kind of like the announcer that's announcing the name of the big star as he comes onto the stage." That's true. But John the Baptist was a soul winner. John the Baptist was a soul winner, folks. Probably, almost certainly, as far as we can know, except Judas, all of the 11 apostles, disregarding Judas, all of those 11 apostles are almost certainly converts of John the Baptist. They had been won and baptized by him. His baptismal authority came from God. Folks, he was a soul winner. He told people about Jesus, not that, "Hey, that's Jesus, he's coming to talk to you," but he talked about Jesus all the time, all everywhere he went. He pointed men to Christ. If there's anything that we in this world need today, it is Christians and churches that will point men to Christ. We have come to the place that we do everything else. But if there's that one area of true lacking, it is pointing men to Christ. It is winning the lost. It's talking to others about Christ. I encourage you, at the close of 99.9% of every service, and I will today, do it now. I encourage us, let's go out and tell somebody about Jesus and invite someone to be your guest in our services. I put it in that order because that's the importance of it. It's important that you invite someone to come to church with you. It's important that you invite the neighbor kids to come to Bible school. Folks, I want you to invite friends to come to a great fish fry that we're going to have in a couple of weeks. That's a time for us to be introduced to them and meet them and influence them. But and it's good. And you know what? It's easy. It's easy to invite someone to Sunday school. It's easy to invite someone. "Hey, would you come to church with us?" You get a new family in the neighborhood. Go invite them to church. See if they've got a church home. If they moved in from out of town, they don't. Invite them to church. That's easy. Folks, it is equally as easy and much more important to invite them to Jesus than it is to invite them to church. Because when you find out if they're a Christian, and if they really are, hopefully they'll be interested in church. If they're a lost person, it's easier to get a saved person to come to church faithfully than it is a lost person. So win them to Christ. Too often we get our cart before our horse, and we say, "Well, we'll get them to come into church with us. They'll hear the preaching, and they'll maybe even come to Sunday school, and maybe they'll be saved." Maybe so. Let's tell them about Jesus. Let's talk to them about Christ. Let's be like John the Baptist. You want to be a great child of God? Point people to Jesus. Talk to them about Christ. Tell them about Jesus and about the soul, the life he gave on the cross to save their soul. Tell them about his resurrection. Tell them that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We often hesitate in talking about hell. We often hesitate about the comparison of heaven and hell because hell is negative. It is. I'm telling you what, it's the most horrendous, the most negative, the most terrible thing and place that you could ever, ever, ever dream of. And we can't begin to fathom the horrors of hell, even though we have a great deal said about it in the Word of God. Jesus himself said it is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Folks, I'm telling you, hell's a terrible place. I've heard this, another one of my favorite sayings from old Brother Denny. Well, Brother Sid, if we might scare them away with all of that. Folk, if they're lost, where are you going to scare them to? Hell number two or hell number three? They're already on the road to hell. Folk, talk to them about Jesus. Don't worry about offending. I don't want to offend anybody. If the truth offends them, now that's a different deal. Folk, they need to hear about Jesus. And you say, well, very few people ever accept. I understand that. Your job is to plant the seed. Your job is to plant the seed. Your job is to tell them about Christ. And by the way, when you do that, realize this. The Holy Spirit's doing His work. You do your part. The Holy Spirit is going to do His part in convicting them. The rest of it's up to them. Okay? But let's be great, because we do our part and we tell people about Jesus. We need to do that today. We need today to be great in the sight of God because we are pointing people to Jesus. We are telling people about Christ. We're witnessing to them. Always remember this. Let this sink in. The vast majority, all right? Yeah, we live in the Bible Belt right in the buckle of it, right here in, you know, Fort Smith, Arkansas. Church on every corner and some between the corners. The vast majority of the people that you encounter and interact with anytime, anywhere, every day are lost without Christ. You encounter far more lost people than you do saved people. Okay? And you know what? They're not in church listening to this message this morning. They're not in church down the corner and around the corner and over the, across town. Because they're not interested. Because they don't see the need. They don't know the urgency. They don't understand the urgency. They don't pick up their Bible and read the Roman Road to Salvation. They don't pick up their Bible and read John chapter 3. They don't do that. They don't come to church even when invited. The only way that vast majority of lost people are going to ever hear about Christ is for winning churches made up of soul-winning church members. My first and foremost plea to you this morning is, do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know Christ? If you don't, let me point you to Him this morning. My next plea to you is, if you know Christ this morning, have you told anybody else about it? Can I use the same illustration I've used 1,000 times? Something great happens in your life. Something exciting happens in your life. You know, the prize patrol comes by this afternoon, knocks on your door, and you've won $5,000 a week for the rest of your life. I'm telling you, as soon as they're gone, you're going to get on the phone, you're going to call, and you say, you're not going to believe what's happened. You're not going to believe the good news that I've got just now. You're not going to be, I have won the prize. I've won the prize. You get that new promotion at work? I hope you get it, okay? I'm not saying don't work for it, all right? I hope you get it. But you get that big promotion at work, and there's a good increase in salary, and you've got a new position, a new office. You're going to call. You're going to call family. You're going to call friends. How are you? Guess what? They called me into the office this morning, and I got that promotion I've been wanting and working for so long. Good news! That new grandbaby's born in the family. Folk, I'm telling you, as soon as they come out and say, he's here and he's healthy and everything's good, you get on the phone. It's good news. You know what the best news that you've ever heard and you've ever experienced in your life is? It's the news that somebody gave you that Jesus loved you, died on the cross for you, paid your sin debt, gave you the hope of eternal salvation, and you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. The best thing that's ever happened to you, the most important decision you have ever made in your life, and we don't tell anybody about it. Folks, this convicts your pastor as much as it does you, I hope. We don't talk enough about Jesus. We don't talk enough about Jesus. That serviceman that comes to your house work on your air conditioner? Talk to him about Christ. Well, how do you do that? I tell you how I do it. I'll kind of introduce somebody. You live here in town? Yeah, I live over, you know. Where do you go to church? Oh, well, I don't go to church. We really don't go to church. Man, I'm telling you what, opportunity has been dumped in your lap. Don't just invite him to church. Tell him about Jesus. And if that serviceman says, oh, yes, my wife and I, we go pretty regular down here to such and such church. Opportunity in the door is still open. That's good. Do you know Christ is your personal Savior? Have you ever been born again? Don't ask people if they're a Christian, because that term is so broadly used and so misapplied, everybody you talk to is a Christian. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Do you know Christ is your personal Savior? Have you ever repented of your sin and accepted Christ to come into your life? Folk, we need that so desperately in our world today, and the world out there needs it desperately, and folk, they're going to have to get it from you and from me. That's where it has to come from. We have to be those who point people to Christ, who tell people about Jesus. Talk to them about it. Tell them about it. You know? It don't take much to get me to tell you about my grandkids. All right? I'll tell you, you know. And I hadn't been to but 6 Little League games this week. I can give you the stats about just almost every one of them individually, because I'm proud of it. How often do we tell somebody about Jesus? How often do we tell people about Christ? How often? Because, you know, my grandkid has a good game and does well. Man, I'm excited. You know, if he doesn't, I'm still proud of him. But tomorrow, that game's history and done deal. What we're talking about is eternal. What we're talking about is everlasting. And what we're talking about is something that's going to determine eternity in heaven or eternity in the horrors of hell. Oh, I can't make them be saved. I can't be saved. They can't be saved by proxy. But I'm telling you what, our job is simply to tell them about Jesus. Why did God say of John the Baptist that there was none greater than John the Baptist? Because of all these things that we've looked at, but I think as importantly, as much so as anything, we have one other that we're going to look at. It's because he pointed men to Christ. He talked to them. Let me put us all on the spot. I use the pronoun us. When was the last time you talked to someone about Jesus to the point that they had to make a decision, yes or no, I will accept Christ as my personal Savior? How long has it been? How many people have you talked to in the last month about Christ? Talking to them about Jesus. Oh, Brother Sid, I invited some neighbors to church the other day. Good. Did you talk to them about Jesus? John the Baptist didn't invite people to church. He told them about Jesus, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And folk, that is still true with us today. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Folk, the second coming of Christ, I believe, is right around the corner. And I hope that corner comes this afternoon. Our world is full of unrest. Our world is political unrest. Our world is full of immorality. Our world is filled with no ethics whatsoever. Our world is just engrossed in the sin of man, in the sin of Satan, in the things of the world. And there's not but one thing, one person that can make any difference in that, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I know Him. I need to be telling others about Him. Are we? Well, I want to be great. I want Unity Baptist Church to be a great church in the sight of God. And if we're going to be, we have to tell people about Jesus. I'm telling you, we've got to get back to witnessing for Christ. get back to it. Years ago, it was more common. Years ago, it was more familiar. But we have just, because of the things of the world, and we have just compromised, and we very, very broadly, very generally, and such, and one thing has led to another, and we've gotten our eyes off the goal. We've gotten our eyes off the focus. Folk, if we're not winning souls for Jesus, I don't care what else we're doing, because we're not getting the job done. Go back into the last chapter of the book of Matthew, chapter 28, and you read the Great Commission. The commission is marching orders. Commission is the command of the one in authority to give us that command. It was given by Jesus to the apostles and all of those that would follow after them in the local New Testament churches like we have gathered here with us this morning. That commission starts by going out and winning the lost. We're told to baptize them, and we're told to teach them. But folk, if we don't win them, we can't scripturally baptize them, nor can we get them in and teach them. We've got to win them to Christ. John the Baptist was great, because he had as his priority pointing men to Christ. Yes, part of his task was, here is the Jesus you've been waiting on. Here is the Savior. Here is the Christ. Here is the one who's going to usher in the kingdom of God. Here is the one who we've been talking about. Meet him right here. This is Jesus. Folk, we can tell our lost friends the same thing. Meet him. Meet Jesus. I met him. You meet somebody famous today? You meet somebody famous? Boy, and that's a broad term. But you meet somebody famous today, and they begin to actually walk with you, and you become, every time you meet somebody, hey, I'd like you to meet so-and-so. And they're going to meet, my goodness, you're a friend of him, you know? Folk, I'm a friend of Jesus. Let me introduce you to him. Let me tell you what he can do for you. And he wants to. John the Baptist was great, because he pointed men to Christ. Backing up just a little. It's Father's Day. Men, it's your day. Will you let today be the day that you make a committed commitment to Christ based on conviction that I'm going to be a better dad. I'm going to be a better husband. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better person. I want to be great in the sight of God. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I've got to get back and see the importance of prayer. I've got to do what's right in God's eyes. I've got to tell others about Jesus.